You know, anyone that reads the gospel and is aware of Jesus' ministry, we know that Jesus was very dependent on parables as he taught, basically taking examples and circumstances from people's lives and finding godly lessons, ways that they could apply and see truth in those things, even using things in creation in terms of just what God might use to teach them in their lives. Well, in honor of Columbus Day weekend, and the fact that many at this time go north and seek foliage and a different experience in terms of nature, I wonder how it might be fitting for us to look at the significance of seasons in our life and what it means for us in terms of what God does each and every year in terms of what we observe and how reflective that is of us in terms of our lives. I know that in Rhode Island, our seasons do get to be a little confused and combined. You know, sometimes you have a little spring in the winter, or winter in the spring, you know, fall in the spring, or whatever. But I think typically our seasons do follow the pattern that we see and the significance that I see in them. So basically, starting with the season that we're in, yes, it is fall, believe it or not, even though it has felt a little bit like summer. And fall is really a season of preparation. I mean, we look at leaves changing color, and we say, wow, how beautiful that is. And yet, we have to understand that if you were to ask a tree, not that they could talk, they would say that they're dealing and going through a radical transformation, really preparing themselves for what is coming in winter. See, leaves are the energy and food production centers of trees. They combine water from the roots, carbon dioxide from us and animals, and light for the sun, and produce oxygen, which they give away for us to breathe, and glucose for them to grow. Chlorophyll is another element in the leaves that makes this process possible, and it is the chlorophyll that gives the leaves their green color. Well, as the temperature drops, the chlorophyll dies, and the trees begin to cut the leaves off since the transfer of water to them can't happen in freezing temperatures. Some of the colors we see in fall are the natural colors of the leaves without chlorophyll, and other colors come from glucose that is trapped in the leaves and its reaction to the sun. And so basically, I know that sounds like a lot of science, but to me, the emphasis that I would like to make, or the connection I would make in that, is how significant preparation is to God. That I think I find in God's economy that his preparing ourselves for the different events in our life, the different plans he has, is far more significant than what we give into in terms of preparation. I mean, just think about Jesus. Just think about his life. Basically, Jesus was on this earth for 33 years. And yet, for the first 30, he really didn't do much of anything. You know, you wonder how hard it was for Jesus to be 8, to be 15, to be 27, whatever it might be, knowing who he was. Yeah, I believe that, you know, very soon in his life, Jesus was aware that he was the Son of God. He was the Messiah of Israel. So I wonder, was it tempting, you know, when Jesus was playing with his friends at 8, was he tempted to call some apostles, you know, preach some lessons, give some parables, maybe do a closet healing over here? But no indication that he did that. But again, what challenge was there for Jesus, who again, for 3 years, out of 33 years, was what he did in terms of ministry? So to me, what was 30 years of Jesus' life? It was preparation. It was training. It was character building. It was him growing in the knowledge of God. Even though he was the Son of God, he also was human. So that aspect of him that was human needed to believe, needed to have faith, needed to have will, needed to follow God and learn the scriptures in terms of all the things that, again, he would need to be prepared for. So when we think about our lives, when we think about, again, the falls of our life, you know, certain times of our lives, we won't understand what's going on or maybe why we're not growing. Why things don't need to be, we don't seem to be bearing fruit or really making headway in terms of, you know, whatever we might think of in terms of initiatives that God would do in our life. Why is it that I seem to move forward in terms of this plan and God always seems to be stopping me or preventing me from doing that? Well, just understand that preparation is an important part of God's plan. that sometimes what God is doing in terms of His will for your life is preparing you for the next phase. Now, I don't mean to say that these different aspects of what we find in the season, the preparation that God would be doing, wouldn't happen in conjunction with each other, but we just have to remember that God is preparing us for things. So when we're going through hardship, we're going through suffering, we're going through things that are challenging to us, oftentimes what I find in those things that God is, again, he's tilling the soil. He's preparing us for something that He has for us next. And so if fall is a season of preparation, the lesson of winter is death. I mean, you ever notice how easy it is to break a branch in the winter? That is because water is actually not there. It's been removed and that growth is stopped. The tree is hunkering down, hibernating, if you will, feeding off starch that has been stored through excess glucose production, maintaining the most basic processes so as to survive. And I wonder if we ever feel like that. You know, if you turn to the book of John chapter 12, we see how necessary death is in terms of our life in God. You know, maybe we might be surprised by that, but again, it's an essential part. Again, in the same way that preparation is an essential part of God's plan, death is also an essential part of God's plan for us. In chapter 12, verses 23 through 25, Jesus says this. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." See, basically here, again, Jesus telling a parable using the example of wheat and how when it's planted, when it goes in the ground, it goes as one seed. But it's only by virtue of it dying, it being broken open. Whatever was planted in the ground, again, is no longer visible in terms of what shoot comes out of it because, again, it has sacrificed itself. It has stopped trying to be what it is, so it can surrender itself to the greater purpose that God has for it. But in that whole picture, in terms of what Jesus is giving, again, he's emphasizing the death that exists there. I mean, in some ways, Jesus naturally is talking about himself. He's saying for himself, it's only by virtue of him dying that he can live. Like the only way that Jesus can be raised from the dead is if he dies, if he submits himself to sacrifice and suffering and his own atoning work on the cross and him dying. But then by virtue of him dying again, that's when he can be brought back to life. That's where his life can be renewed. But in the same way, Jesus, as he's talking about the kernel, talking about himself, he's also talking about us and how significant it is when it comes to the winters of our life. When it comes to the time where God is calling us in deeper and deeper ways to die to ourselves. See, one of the most challenging things about the Christian life is the fact that God calls us to take up a cross. He calls us to set ourselves aside. See, God realizes that many of the things that we might offer Him, many of the things that are inside us, particularly when we think about our sin nature, certainly there's nothing in that is usable in terms of God's economy and God's will for our lives. And so God knows when it comes to His will and His purpose, His power operating our lives, that there's really nothing in terms of us, or very little in terms of us, that can be brought to the table. So all those things that are associated with selfishness or will, or again, our own pride in terms of what we would be recognized for or regarded for, God is asking us to die to ourselves. God is asking us to set those things aside. Like when we think about our priorities, our goals, our desires, our will, what we would seek to accomplish, what we think our lives are about. See, winter tells us that there's a time, there's a natural progression that happens in the Christian life where we are to die, where we have to surrender ourselves to the will of God in terms of what He would seek to approach. What He's preparing us for and what He is ultimately accomplishing for us. I mean, basically, as the trees and the plants go through this, in terms of them subjecting themselves to death, they see the value and necessity of that. That they recognize that in that winter time, they're actually getting stronger. That they're actually in reserving and maintaining just the basic processes. And as they weather the winter and they're able to come through that in terms of being alive and maintaining those processes, as then spring comes about and life comes back into the plants, they are actually stronger. They are able to grow more because of the fact that they have gone through winter. And so what a powerful picture for us in terms of just how significant that is. And again, I think at any point in time in our lives, these dynamics of the seasons of our lives can ebb and flow in terms of what God is accomplishing. But I think there's also an aspect where we can find ourselves more settled in one place than another. And again, we might be, I'm not bearing fruit, or I don't seem to be living, and I don't seem to be growing, or what. Well, you know, sometimes God is preparing you. Sometimes God is teaching you how to die. And maybe He's teaching you how to die on a different level. See, we also have to understand when it comes to these aspects of what God is trying to accomplish in our life, that I believe is reflected in the seasons, that they happen on different levels. That, you know, you may be prepared for one aspect of God's plan for your life, and that happens. You get prepared. You die to yourself in the context of life. God brings life and gives you power. You bear fruit in that season. Then all of a sudden, you're on to another part of God's plan where it's now further preparation. It's further death. You thought you were willful before, and then you find that you're even more willful about certain things. You know, maybe some sin is still lingering on and continuing on in your life. And again, it has to be set aside. You have to die to yourself in terms of that. And again, that's certainly what picture points to and what God, you know, recognizes the necessity for us. But there's great value in us dying, because outside of us dying, we could never see the life of God. But thankfully, the seasons do change. The weather warms and triggers in plants a system that will bring life back to its limbs. If fall represents preparation, winter death, then spring stands for life. I mean, it's actually where the term spring comes from, life springing from the ground. I mean, Jesus says in John 10:10, that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You know, whenever Jesus says, you know, that there are a handful of times that Jesus says, this is why I have come. You know, the Son of Man has come not to serve, but to not to be served, but to serve and give His life a ransom for many. Okay, it's important that Jesus, we understand, what does Jesus understand about His purpose? Why is He here? But when He says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. To know that Jesus understands that His whole mission is for us to live, for us to be the people that God desires for us to be, for us to experience the life of God in us, to experience His power, to experience His Spirit, to experience the guidance and ministry that God has to us personally in terms of our purpose and what He's trying to do in terms of bearing fruit through us. But again, that life is part of what God is trying to establish and promote in us. I mean, basically, He makes this statement in the context of describing Himself as the Good Shepherd in terms of that John 10 passage. And He basically describes Himself in the passage as the Good Shepherd, particularly comparing Himself to the bad shepherds. And what He says is bad shepherds, those who are hired hands, they come to kill and to maim and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And so we have to understand that when we think about that analogy of God calling us sheep, referring Himself as a shepherd and us as sheep, we recognize the dependence that God allows us to have on Him and the dependence that He is able to fulfill in terms of what He's trying to provide for us, in terms of protection, in terms of provision, in terms of food and guidance and leading. The things that, you know, cleaning and purifying, all the things that a shepherd would provide for his sheep. And Jesus is saying that very thing, but for the purpose of giving us life. You know, I believe that the majority of human beings living on this earth never attain to the life that God would ultimately have for them. Because we are always trying to hold on. We are always trying to maintain what we want and what we desire. You know, there was a time, well, actually this just happened yesterday, that, I'm trying to call one of my dogs. I just wanted to spend time in the morning, you know, come on, let me pet you and feel all those things you want in terms of a dog being near you. And basically, at that time, Karen was feeding Warren. And so I've got a puppy and I've got an older dog. And that puppy, I couldn't get him, he's 7 months now. But anyways, I could not get that puppy away from getting the scraps from Warren's feeding. And the fact that I call him and call, come on, come and spend time with daddy. And I was lying down, so I wanted him to lie down with me. If you're a dog person, you get what I'm saying. If you're not a dog person, you don't get it. But anyways, but he just would not leave. And it was such a stark picture to me that here he is trying to get scraps from a baby's table and not spend time with me, that I could give him anything. I could give him a steak from the refrigerator. You know, he's getting little pieces of egg or little piece of toast that's coming from. And yet, what a picture that is of us in terms of how we settle for scraps. We settle for what we can establish in life and what we can promote, rather than coming into the Father's arms and just being with Him. You know who came? Is my old dog, the dog who understood. See, the puppy doesn't understand that, but I understand what time with daddy is. And so basically, again, so the old dog comes and we have some nice time yesterday. But anyways, part of this story is that, Emily was feeding Warren because Karen was out, because that's when I can sneak the dogs on the bed, is when Karen's not home. And so she's not here, so don't tell her I said that. But anyways, but that was just a stark lesson in terms of, again, the life, the abundant life that God is giving us. But we hinder that in terms of what we try to hold on to. And Galatians 2:2 gives a great picture of that in terms of just the purpose of how our death and Christ's life seeks to combine and dwell in us. And I love this picture, like I said, in Galatians 2:20. And it says here, for I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. See, so don't miss this connection, that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. I love the apparent contradiction that exists here, because at one point Paul says that I no longer live. Again, because Christ is crucified, I no longer live. But then he says, the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Well, which is it, Paul? Are you living or are you not living? And that's a beautiful thing of this abundant life. That's a beautiful thing about the life that God gives us, that we are alive, obviously. It's our body, it's our life, it's our mind, it's our choices, it's our will. But when we truly tap into the life of God, it almost seems like we're not living. Because it's not about us. It's not about what I want or what I'm trying to accomplish or what satisfies or fulfills me. It's about what fulfills God and what He wants. So the life I live, I'm really not living. God is living through me. That is His power that is generating that life and empowering that life and moving that life. But again, if I don't recognize that I'm crucified, see, if I don't identify with the crucifixion that this winter, the fact that I am to die to myself, then this life of God can never be produced in me. But when it does, It's a full life. It's an abundant life. It's a life where, again, God is accomplishing His plan and His power is flowing through us. And again, it's nothing compared to anything we could ever have on this earth in terms of what we would cling to and hold on to in terms of what we could foster or what we could manage in terms of our life. So, again, this life of God represented in the spring of our life. We get prepared. We again, God builds us up and grows us and matures us for the next stage, for the plan that He has for us. He teaches us how we have to die to ourselves in the winter. And again, then He springs life through us in the spring. And again, if fall is about preparation, if winter is about death, and spring is about life, summer is about fruit bearing. I mean, it's really the point of it all. It's why the plant exists in the first place. You know, sometimes what I wonder is, why do these flowers go through so much trouble to present a flower that lasts for 2 weeks? Like, that's a lot of effort. A year worth of living and praying and dying and boom, daffodils. Okay, you're there for 2 weeks and then you die. But again, it's all God's purpose and what God... But that's really all the... Like, if you were to ask, what is a plant most excited about, what it's most looking forward to, it's that fruit production. The fact that I'm going to shine my flower, I'm going to produce my apple, I'm going to whatever it might be. And that's what summer is all about. The fact that at some point in time, God's purpose for our lives, all that He's doing in terms of preparing us and us dying and us living again and having His life in us, is that we would bear fruit for Him. I mean, basically in John 15, Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." That, again, that is God's desire. That is God's purpose. You know, when you even look at what is happening and, you know, the analogy that could be used between our lives and the lives of plants, is that all the other seasons in some way is about the plant. It's about it growing, about it maintaining energy and producing life in terms of getting to that point of fruit production. But it's when it's the fruit production that it's now about someone else. It's now about what I'm shining forth or producing so that someone else has benefited. And really, that is what the summer in our lives represent. You know, you go through a time of, again, God preparing, you're dying to yourself, you're getting more in touch with God's life within you, and then fruit is born. You know, to know that that is God's purpose, that's God's intent. You know, very much in line with our 40 days of love in terms of what God desires to create in us so that we bear fruit for Him. When you think about what God desires in terms of the fruit of our lives, what is to be the result? Why is God doing all these things in us in terms of bringing us to the cross and crucifying us in terms of identifying with Jesus' death and then producing this life in us? You know, what is that fruit? I think, you know, one of the things would be about what is in us, and it is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I mean, one way that we show ourselves to be Christ's disciples is that we're living in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, something we should always be asking ourselves, what is the fruit of my life? What is the result of what I'm producing? And is it consistent with the Holy Spirit? Like, is the character that I have consistent with the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control that's consistent with the Holy Spirit? And again, if it's not, we have to reassess and reevaluate. Well, what have I not done in preparation? What have I not done in winter in terms of death? What have I not done in terms of living out the life of God and tapping into His power that this fruit is not being produced? You know, what am I doing in terms of investing in the lives of others? You know, and then, you know, both believers and unbelievers. But let me emphasize the unbelievers in terms of the fruit that Jesus would have us accomplish. You know, when you think about Jesus' mission on this earth, that He came to provide salvation to the world. That's what His mission was. And to think of how He accomplished that, you know, He came, and again, He lived 33 years here, 3 years primarily of ministry, taught, did miracles, revealed himself, and then chose 12 men to carry on his message. And then he told those 12 men, go, make disciples, teach people what I told you, be my ambassadors. And the only way that, again, well, or it's not the only way God could do it, but the way God has chosen to do it is using us as the vehicles, using us as the means in other people's lives to share what God has done in my life to bear fruit in other people's lives. You know, certainly there's a place for us to do that with each other, with believers. Be an encourager. Admonish people. Help them to grow in their faith as they sharpen you, you sharpen them in terms of God's purpose for us. But then really taking hold and intentionality. Just what does God seek to produce in me in the life of other people that don't know Him? Again, what open doors is He making available? What open doors am I looking for? What open doors am I praying about? Because again, if the whole point of the fall and the winter and the spring is to bear fruit, well, again, what fruit is being born? Again, who is it that I'm looking to have that conversation with, to share the gospel with, to find God's guidance, to find God's provision, to find the work that He's doing in people's lives as I talk to them? So again, praying for them, caring for them, sharing our faith, finding the means, the inroads, if you will, into other people's lives that are going to give us an opportunity to share the good news of Christ, to share all that God has done for us, for them. Because we know, in different levels of desperation, the world is desperate. The world is lost. The world is dark. The world needs hope. They can't admit it. Sometimes they can't even see it. But we have to understand, we are the light of the world. Jesus is, but by virtue of us carrying His mission, we become that light in terms of shining His light in other people's lives. So let's bow and let's pray this morning. Father, when we think about just all the seasons that You bring us through in terms of what You seek to develop in us, Father, we really are more important to You than any mission we would accomplish. But Father, when we think of what You prepare us for, what You call us to die to, the life You put in us, Father, we know that Your desire is that we would bear much fruit. And Father, I just pray that as we consider just what place we are, what season we are in, what You're trying to promote in our lives, that we would be open to whatever that is. But Father, we would always be moving forward, always be pursuing You, always looking for what fruit that You are seeking to produce in me, what You're preparing me for, what You're calling me to die to myself for the sake of what You would produce in other people's lives. And Father, I just pray that more and more testimonies would come from our lives as we engage with You and what You're seeking to do in the lives of other people, particularly in those that don't know You. And revealing what Your plan is and how we get to join You, how we get to participate in what You're accomplishing for the sake of the salvation of other people. And so, Father, we just lift this before You in the name of Your Son, Jesus, and offer ourselves to be Your vessels, offer ourselves to be Your ambassadors, to be the representatives of the kingdom of God in the lives of other people. And so, Father, we lift these things before You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.